Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button, especially on YouTube. They have a habit of unsubscribing people.
Yes.
And, of course, if you're on the iOS podcast app, that helps boost our rankings in the sports and rec category on iTunes. And it helps boost the profile of the show. So if you could do that, that'd be fantastic.
Yes, please.
We're also on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have a whole stack of postcards ready to be sent out. That's for the $10 tier. We have like 60 or so people watching this live stream. That's from the dollar up. You can watch a monthly live stream.
Yes.
And then $5 up. You get it every single week.
Every week.
And I'm like literally one page left to letter on the comic book. And that'll be ready to be sent off to the printers.
Awesome.
So the $20 patrons are finally going to get their Steven Larson Friendo care package reward thing.
It only took a year.
It only took over a year to get that done. So, yay for us. We're also Ray Larson.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. You can get that shirt right there.
Yeah, that's right.
This one's for the $50 patrons.
That's right. I like doing this for the patrons, you know, opening up your wallet to us, metaphorically or literally on PayPal, however they do it. Credit card numbers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit of effort.
It does.
And it shows that they have a lot of passion for the Going In Raw.
Yes, which we appreciate.
Exactly. And because of that appreciation, I'm going to go ahead and read off the names of the people who have pledged since last Tuesday. Let's see here. Man, my goodness, we had a lot of
Tuesday. We had like five or six just today alone.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I remember this one. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to go from here. Eduardo Camaro, eater of tacos. Terrence, spelled with an A, Turnage. Carlos Guznay, the real Emil. Joseph, Cody Livingston. Joel Saladino, Harold Sutton, James Kia. Kenneth McDowell, Daniel the Flying Zippo Hawkwind, JBL Safe Space. There you go, a little commentary for you from a friend, a pledge. Cole Curtinbuck, Gassy Freddy Blassie, Justin Larson. Any relation? No. Or did you play? Is your first name Justin? Did you put in a no? Okay. You didn't put in $5 to the podcast?
No, because that means only $2.50 if it's going to me.
Less than that because Patron takes
that. Oh, yeah. I'm losing money in that deal. No.
Flux, Dragonplex, Marsh, Liam Brown, Psycho Vic Holland, Carlo Spicy Wiener, Nathan Withers, The Heel Turn Podcast, Patrick Applegren, King of Kong Style, Super Fun Happy, Tyler Wagner, Benoit Kumo, Not That John, Farhan Bilgrami, Brennan Hargrove, Matt Knight, Richard Ely, Sam Thompson, Joseph Head, Tom Robeson, Dan Monens, Hopeless Q8, Fargan, Benjamin R. Osterbauer, Licking It Raw, Timothy James Dodd, Michael Von Houten, Brian Whipple, Peter McCauley, Daniel Agabuya, Marcus Billups, Jeffrey Van Der Veek, and Ryan Goddamn, Miss Ushima.
There's a lot of names.
Cliff Davis, Super Kicks and Lipstick, David Jones, Mark Hay, Gary Logeswaren, Steven Patterson, Andrew Monahan, Corey Smith, Michael Belgin, and King of Swerve Style, Damian Dam. We might have to start spreading these out.
That was a lot.
Because seriously, we're getting a lot these days, and it really warms my
yes.
heart.
Yes, thank you very much.
It also kills my brain at the start of the show. Oh my goodness gracious. Let's just talk about Raw.
Raw!
So I texted you about halfway through Raw last night and said, wow, Raw was a chore.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I was watching it, and it felt like I was at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours through. I look at the clock, and this is barely after 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'd say to myself, wow, it's going to be a long night of watching wrestling.
You know what I've noticed helps with me? Because I actually had the exact opposite feeling. I was not enamored with the show.
No.
I thought that this week, it really, like the first post-shakeup week, really exposed how depleted Raw is.
Yes.
For a three-hour show, it feels like everybody called in sick.
I know.
It felt so depleted. I feel like Raw did not get anything in return from SmackDown.
And it certainly doesn't help now that the Revival is going to be out for a number of weeks.
Oh, yeah. Although I guess the Club can just step in and do whatever they were going to do.
I know, but we've seen the Club a lot.
Yeah, no, we have. But however, I'll just say this, just from my personal standpoint, and nobody else shares this experience with me, I would imagine, but having Alabama running around plus getting the very final episode of W Steve W finished, that all contributed to the show going by in a breeze.
Oh, yeah.
I was just desperate to get that episode out last night, like before midnight. And so it kind of went by, but watching it, I was like, it feels like it's empty. It feels empty. I did appreciate that, and we can just start off the show, the actual recap with this, that it was Braun is kind of
their
star right now.
Yeah, all of the Braun segments were definitely highlights.
Yeah, no, I thought the Braun thing was great. I thought that I think Raw has the roster for like a really good two hour show.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of always been the case, but there's been really good 3 hour episodes of Raw where they've known how to pace it out correctly.
Yes.
But last night, man, like, okay, we'll just start with Braun. I actually really like this. Braun the Monster really destroyed Roman Reigns last week. I thought that Braun is back on track. Long term, I sort of have concerns because it feels like he's going to job to Roman. He's going to job to Lesnar.
Yes.
That's what it feels like that. But maybe they can kind of, maybe they can have their cake and eat it too somehow. Maybe you'll have an idea.
Here's
about
still
that.
Kind of the worrisome juxtaposition with Braun is that he constantly says he wants better competition.
Yeah.
And yet he's face to face with Brock and then walks out of the ring.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
know.
That's, you know, he's the Universal Champion. That's the top competition you can get.
Yeah.
You're face to face with him. Throw down.
Braun should be a monster who doesn't think about fighting, he just fights. So picking and choosing his spots a la Kevin Owens doesn't really work for him.
No.
And especially this is why it boggles my mind they wouldn't want to run with Braun like full on against Lesnar. Number one, he got a really good pop last night.
Yeah, especially when he said Roman Reigns is not going to be here tonight.
Yeah, he made that announcement. But also, when you see him standing face to face with Brock Lesnar, Brock looks like an underdog. He really does.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman is just thick.
Yeah, he's massive.
And he's tall.
Yes.
And thick.
Yes.
Like those titties of his are immaculate. They're so big. Oh my God. They're amazing. Anyway, he comes out and what does he say? He says, Roman Reigns is garbage.
No, that was later.
Oh, that was later on. Okay. I just like his promo was very simple. It was spoken in, this is what I loved about it. It was executed in a manner that should warrant what chance? Because you can always tell when somebody's savvy when they're doing their promo, like Dean Ambrose. You cannot what Dean Ambrose. When he gets on the mic, you can't what him.
Yeah.
Because I guess you'd call it his cadence.
Yes, yes.
The way he likes it. There's no regular breaks there.
No.
You know, it's like he'll just keep on talking. It's like, what did I have for lunch today? Well, I had a sandwich with some
ham.
It's
very stream of consciousness.
It's exactly, yes.
Whereas with Braun, it felt like he was just reciting.
Braun read lines.
But memorized
it worked,
lines.
It worked perfectly because why would he do anything else?
Oh, I know.
I don't want to hear Braun strumming. I kind of do. But, you know, a stream of consciousness of Braun isn't really going to work. And so he comes out, Roman Reigns isn't going to be here tonight. And nobody's going to what that.
No, everybody pops because he led up to that. He said, I'm very proud of the fact that I beat the hell out of Roman. I'm very proud of getting the separated shoulder and cracked ribs. I'm very proud of something else he did, and I'm very proud to say that Roman Reigns isn't here tonight.
Yeah,
it all built up to that that last line and got a great pop.
Yeah, and he did. I mean, look, stick to their strengths.
Yes.
We've seen certain wrestlers, like the one that I crow on all the time is TJ Perkins, where they're obviously not, in terms of the promo writing stuff, they're not sticking to his strengths, and it's glaringly obvious. with Braun last night, whoever, and same with Baron Corbin, they stick to his strengths.
Yes.
He does kind of the same thing. Like, he'll just, it's okay to read lines if you give them lines that feel natural coming out of their mouth.
Yes.
You know, with Braun last night, it worked really, really well.
Yeah, he was completely convincing.
Yeah.
Totally convincing. So, and so he says again, Braun does, that he wants competition.
Yes.
So Kurt Angle comes out.
Yeah.
First, he announces that we'll get Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman at Payback.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, you know, based on what you did last week, Braun, you should be suspended.
Yeah.
So, but you're not. But tonight, you're getting the night off.
Mm-hmm.
And Braun says, well, no, you're doing the same thing Mick Foley did to me, and see what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he more or less threatened Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle said, well, what's going to happen? Braun left the ring and then just went on a rampage throughout the night backstage.
That was kind of the recurring thread throughout the show was him dumping Kalisto in a trash can.
That's when he said, Roman Reigns is garbage.
That was so good. So good. I'm still tickled by that. Okay, here's one. My main problem with this opening bit is Kurt Angle is a huge star.
Yes.
He came out and basically did same thing Foley would have done. Kurt Angle needs to be Kurt Angle.
Yes.
He needs to not be the guy who's manically trying to keep the roster in check.
I know.
He's Kurt Angle.
I know.
He's not overwhelmed. He won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
I know. And I like the first couple weeks. He was getting to know the roster.
Yeah.
He was learning about everybody's personality. Mm-hmm. And maybe he should have come into the ring and you know, had more of a back and forth with Braun to get to know Braun, the character, a bit more.
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, they do that kind of thing where they come out and they say, you know, if it's a new guy in town, he sort of no-sells whoever this person is if they haven't personally met on camera. If it doesn't happen on camera, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And so if he would have come out, given us a little bit of Kurt Angle as opposed to kind of generic GM guy, that would have helped, in my eyes anyways, that would have helped ease the perception that Raw lost talent because you're gaining Kurt Angle, who's a huge talent. Even though he's not wrestling, he's a huge personality.
And that was the only segment he was in for the rest of the show.
See, that's a problem. You have Kurt Angle.
I know.
Use him.
I know.
Man. After that, we actually had a pretty good kickoff match. We had Chris Jericho versus Samoa Joe. I like this match.
Yeah, it was good.
My main problem with this is, okay, so it was a Samoa Joe versus Chris Jericho. Seth Rollins should not be on commentary. That's a waste of Seth Rollins. I'm not saying he has to wrestle. I totally get that Seth Rollins, they're using him when they need him because who knows what his knee is like.
Yes.
I get that. He is not a strong face promo commentary guy.
Well, he isn't unless he has a very distinct, clear goal.
Right. He shouldn't be like, if Samoa Joe is in his sights, he should attack like a rabid animal.
Yes, and I will say Rollins was okay on commentary, but it wasn't until he grabbed the mic and you know did his promo directed squarely at Joe that actually seemed like there was any intensity.
And Joe was great.
Yes.
And
Joe was always great.
So they had Joe win clean over Chris Jericho, submitting him with the
Coquina Clutch.
Coquina Clutch, that's what I thought it was. It was a good match. It was a cool match.
Joe does a promo saying, you know, his previous attack on Seth was business.
What did he say? Yeah. He says, but you hurt Triple H's wife, so now it's personal and wrong.
Well, he said you beat Triple H and you hurt Stephanie. Yeah. And he always like has the back of his benefactor.
Yeah.
So now it's personal, and Seth grabs Mike and says, you're damn right it's personal.
Yeah, I think he said something like it's always been personal or something like
that.
He
says you'll learn at Payback that Payback is a bitch.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not into that, dude. Don't be clever. Don't be clever. Just be intense. You're best when you're intense.
I agree.
And I thought that he was good, but Payback is a Bitch is the most obvious cliche they could use there.
I know.
It lacked effectiveness in my eyes.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Booker T. Love Booker T.
Yes.
It was great, too, because it kind of wasn't he wasn't letting Corey get away with certain things. Like he always had, like Corey would try to engage him a little bit and Booker T would kind of, I'm not gonna say shut him down because I thought he was awesome, but he would kind of heal up on Corey a little bit. He would heal up on the heel a little bit. It was good.
I really liked during the Enzo and Cass who they faced last night, Where is it? Their match.
The club.
Oh, yeah. The club. Yeah, yeah. Booker T's insights into Enzo and Cass's strategy in talking about their relative inexperience.
Yeah.
And in terms of how it worked into the story of the match, I thought that was an interesting new element to add.
Yeah, no, he's good.
He's great.
Then we
speaking of the club,
yeah,
they were walking backstage, ran into the Drifter.
That's right.
A little nod of the head.
Oh, I loved it. It was great. He's drifting through Raw, man. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
They cut to somewhere else backstage. The Golden Truth are walking towards the ring.
And they get railroaded by Braun Strowman. Just completely annihilates him. Enter Kurt Angle, Fit Finlay, and
Kurt Angle
Jamie
there.
Noble. He was at first. He ran.
No, that was Adam Pearce.
Oh, that was Adam Pearce? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah, it wasn't Kurt Angle.
I was staring at my computer. I looked over. Okay.
It was Pearce, it was Jamie Noble, and it was Fit Finlay. Yeah.
All right. I thought Kurt Angle ran real quick, but apparently it was another bald man. Yeah. And then the ref was like, get out of here, Braun. Braun said, I'll leave what I want to.
No, that was later on.
Where am I right now?
That was the next segment. Was Braun was sitting in the locker room, and the ref ref the match, the main event, came in and said something to him, and
he was a hero of the night, man.
I know, and Braun just says, "I'll leave when I want to."
Yeah, that was good. No, I like Finlay. He was like, "Somebody get help over here," and I was like, "Just get your shillelagh out, Finlay. Get your shillelagh. Where's Hornswoggle when you need him?"
So, anyways, the club come out to the ring, and you know they were supposed to face the Golden Truth.
Yeah.
In their match for the evening. That wasn't happening, so the club said, you know, hey, we're here. We want to be mean and make green, so send someone out.
Hitting the reset button on the club since the Revival are out for a couple of months.
Yep. Out come Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, and Enzo and Cass lost cleanly.
Yeah.
Anderson did, and I liked it because Anderson did some weird shit where he, like, bounced Enzo off the top rope and then, like, slammed him down for a pin type thing.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting move.
Yeah.
And Corey Graves sold it as such.
Yeah.
That's what they should have been from the get. Like, they're known in Japan as these, like, you know, kind of like the Revival. Like, a really solid tag team with interesting tag team execution.
Yeah.
And that's what they should have been this entire time. Not just a couple of badasses, which they should be as well. They should be an interesting tag team in the ring.
Yes, their interplay as a tag team should be
highlighted. And they were kind of that last night.
Yeah.
They were kind of that last night. Sounds good.
Yes. Next, we had a segment of Miz TV.
Why do they have Miz and Dean going at it?
The highlight
of this, simply SmackDown.
The highlight of this segment was the Miz's suit.
Yeah,
that was
great.
Spectacular.
Yeah. The entire point of the shakeup was to get new matchups.
Yes.
So why is the Miz and Dean going at it? You'd be doing any number of other things with these two guys.
And, like, the motivation behind it is weak.
Yeah, what is the motivation? Dean had a really good promo.
Yeah.
But it kind of just goes, it just kind of falls on deaf ears, I feel. Like,
it's pretty typical Dean.
Yeah. I like to bleed. I like to fight. I don't care if it's
I mean,
like,
same with the Miz was like, hey, I'm dressed this way. This is what a WWE superstar is supposed to look like. You're just Dean, a wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, why aren't you wearing a fanny pack and Zubaz pants?
That was actually pretty funny.
There was a couple of funny lines.
No, I know. I'm kind of siding with Miz on this one.
And he brings up Dean's complacency.
Yeah.
The fact
that
he's lazy.
Yeah. No, somebody on Twitter said, I forget. I got to look
at
his
tweets.
That
the Miz's gimmick now is a heel that speaks the truth, essentially.
Exactly. A heel that makes good points. And then Marie steps in and says, listen, you know, come in, street rat. She called him a street rat.
Mm-hmm.
What's a street rat? I assume like one of them rats had like got that piece of pizza.
In oh, him. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good piece of pizza.
Yeah,
rat.
It did.
Rat was about to nosh on. So, yeah, I don't know. Look, man, I actually really like The Miz. I love Maurice.
Oh, yeah.
They're great.
They're fantastic.
I don't want to see this feud, though.
No.
We saw this essentially on SmackDown.
Like 2.5-3 months ago.
Yeah, why are we still watching this?
I don't know. That seemed to have a pretty conclusive end to their feud previously.
Yeah. I guess here's the problem.
There's no one else for The Miz to feud with. Well, there's no one else for Dean to feud with.
Who can we really swap out at this point? You know what I mean? Like, Jericho's about to be gone, so there's a face that The Miz can't fight. Seth has obvious business with Joe, so there's a face he can't fight. Who else could Miz? I mean, that is kind of the problem, and I get that. But who else could The Miz
fight? Maybe that's what they should have done. obviously Finn is not doing anything until this whole Bray situation gets worked out. Mm-hmm. Have him have a little mini feud with The Miz.
And, you know, yeah, I know, especially after the Jinder Mahal thing. Like, you could have saved Finn from, I mean, you know, after he gets getting concussed. I mean, granted, he squashed Kurt Hawkins last night.
Yeah.
Chad got no offense on
no.
Finn. No. But yeah, and then, we'll bring that up in the Finn segment. But yeah, Miz versus Finn. That's kind of an oddball pairing right there.
Do that for a couple months.
Yeah.
Until, because Bray said, hey, Finn, I'm keeping my eyes on you. It wasn't as if, okay,
oh,
you're.
God, that's right. We had that Bray Wyatt thing last night.
But that, it wasn't last night he said that. It was during the shakeup episode.
No, I
week.
Know, but he had that.
I know,
he
I know.
He had
I
the
know.
Thing.
And so it wasn't as if, hey, we're going to feud soon. It's just, you know, somewhere down the line, we're going to go at it.
Hey, Finn, try not to get injured, man. Try not to get concussed, man. Your little head get ringed.
So in the meantime, have Finn and The Miz have a little feud and then build up Finn and Bray maybe for SummerSlam.
Who's Finn going to take on at Payback?
Nobody.
He's not going to fight. We're not going to see him.
I don't think so.
We're going to be fourth row for Finn. I got the ticket just for Finn.
Did you really?
No.
I didn't think so.
It's kind of our job. If there's a show nearby, we need to go to
it.
Yeah,
we have to go to it.
Yeah. Are we going to Supreme Pro Wrestling next Sunday?
Maybe.
Maybe. Could be fun. I'm sad I didn't go to TFW. Yeah, it's like their anniversary show.
Yeah.
Jeff Cobb is on the card.
Yeah.
Any show with Jeff Cobb on it,
it's
a good show.
Going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't know, man. And then Dean. Okay, let's take Dean.
Samoa Joe is the most
obviously,
logical heel
yeah.
contender for the IC title. He's busy.
That'll happen after Seth.
Yeah.
And
Joe should win that belt.
Well, I mean, they're short on heels.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, I get that this is a problem where, like, there's no obvious answer necessarily, but man, they need heels.
They really do.
Raw is depleted right now.
Really need heels.
Anyways.
And maybe the most sensible thing to do, they're not going to do it, is have Dean turn heel. He's been
a face for four years. About that off camera, I think.
Yeah, we were texting about it last night.
Yeah, we were texting about it.
They'd either have him drop the belt to somebody, then turn heel, or better yet, have him turn heel, and then he could feud with Finn for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That would be great.
Yeah.
It seems, you know, Lesnar's not going to be around much, and they're not going to have a Finn-Lesnar feud just for Finn to lose.
Right.
You know, they'll have Lesnar-Braun
mm-hmm.
probably at SummerSlam, and then a couple other feuds where Brock will win, and then Reigns will win the Universal title at WrestleMania next year.
Yeah.
So I don't see them necessarily having feud with Lesnar in at least any of their top faces on Raw. I feel like they kind of want to protect them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's all weird right now. Like, the fact that Finn had Chad Hawkins last night, it's just weird.
It's weird.
It's like there's 2 weeks till Payback. He's got to do something at Payback.
You would think.
What, is he going to take on Titus? Titus Brand at Payback? Have Apollo Crews go heel with Titus. That'd be a great pairing. Strowman, then backstage, dragging Kalisto. It like, opened on him dragging Kalisto?
And that's when he
said. So who knows how long that had been going on?
And that's when he said, Roman Reigns is garbage. And then he throws Kalisto into a dumpster.
It was great. And then the Big Show railroaded Braun Strowman.
Yeah, blindsided
him
completely.
It was great. It was fantastic. And then he said something like, you want competition? I do it.
Yeah.
He said, a rematch
of a match they had, a month ago?
And I forget when this was. Yeah, I know, but that was a killer match.
It was fun, yeah.
And last night was a killer match, too. It's, a couple people noticed on Twitter, and I did notice this at some point. I forget if it was here or if it was later on, but somebody in the crowd, you could hear clear as day, say, "Whoa!" Oh, I love it.
That's pretty funny.
Anyways, then we had a 205 Live match, TJ Perkins versus Jack Gallagher. Didn't we just see this?
Yeah, it was a rematch from last week's 205 Live, which was a really good match.
Yeah, it was a really good match.
This one was okay. Right as the match about to start, it was announced that there'd be a special appearance
mm-hmm.
by Neville. And so they brought a chair out for him to sit ringside. And then right after that, Austin Aries comes out, drops mm-hmm. a quick promo. He grabs a folding chair
mm-hmm.
and sits right next to Neville.
Yeah.
Neville scoots away.
He's sitting at the Neville level.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
I just love that. The Neville.
So it was a decent match. They get to the outside, and Perkins pushes Gallagher
mm-hmm.
into Austin Aries. It was a pretty stiff bump,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, no, it was. And then Aries got up on the apron. Neville, like, didn't he, like, sweep his leg?
Something like that, yeah.
Man, that looked brutal, too.
Yeah. Aries was taking some bumps.
Aries was taking some bumps and wasn't even his match.
And then the ref was distracted. Perkins got the upper hand, hit the detonation kick to get the pin on Gallagher.
You see the promo for Ride Along with Gallagher and Brian Kendrick?
Yeah.
It looks great. I want to watch it.
Yeah.
Because, like, they're riding.
It looks super awkward.
It does. They're driving by the WWE headquarters. You can see the sign in the distance, the light up in the distance. And he relates some story about how he, back when he used to work there, he walked in and they thought he was just a fan. So they had a magazine on the desk and he opened it up. Because he asked Gallagher, he says, "Have you ever been there before?" And he's like, "No, I haven't. Have you?" He's like, "Yeah, one time back in the day, they thought I was a fan. They were going to kick me out." And so I open up a magazine. I said, "That's me. I work here." And they let me in. He says, "Is that the only time it happened?" He says, "I never went back there." let's see here. Then we
That's
had.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, it looks good.
What? How did you feel about Perkins' performance last night? He had a couple great facial expressions. Like, yeah. he it seemed like he's just constantly searching for Neville's approval.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all right, I guess. I'm not impressed. I mean, look, his ring work is fantastic.
Yeah,
I think
he's getting better with the character work when he's not talking.
Yeah. I mean, that typically is the case, though. You say the same thing about Nia Jax, how like her.
Oh, she's
and
great.
It's true, and it's
she's
true.
Great in yeah, ring I, in terms I, of her character yeah. work. It's fantastic.
I agree with you on that one. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel like they're just. I don't know. It's fine. I just feel like that version of his character is so hand in hand with the promo work that he does. It's hard for me to separate like what he does. I mean, that might just take some time.
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody can be Neville.
Yeah.
Because Neville was like,
I know, but he was also off TV awesome. For a little bit. So maybe he was working on stuff while he was off
that
TV.
Could be.
I don't know. Next, we had a great segment. Akira Tozawa and Apollo Crews were backstage.
Yeah, that was great.
I think they're really good friends.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
I think
cool.
they used to be roommates.
Oh, neat.
So that was cool.
I love Akira Tozawa.
I know.
He's the best.
So Titus comes in.
Titus Brand.
And it was great.
No, this is really good. He starts pitching Apollo Crews on, you know, various ways that he could exploit his name and, you know, image. And he says, think about it. You know, people want to go on vacation, they'll go on an Apollo cruise. And then he says, you can be the face of a law firm. And if somebody gets wronged, then they can Apollo sues.
And Apollo's facial expressions this whole time were fantastic.
Very confused by the entire thing.
Really
affair.
Good.
Yeah, it was good. I would actually really like, you know, somebody's got a bite on Titus Brand eventually.
I know.
Why not Apollo Crews? Why not have Apollo Crews buy into this? I think that if they did the thing with him where he starts dressing all snazzy and he just starts dropping your regular, like, arrogant heel promos, I would dig that. I could, you know what? It's something that he isn't doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Roll with that. He doesn't have to be the guy with a chip on his shoulder. He can be the arrogant, sort of trying to live extravagantly heel. Do that with the shiny shirts, you know, like The Rock used to wear.
Yeah.
That kind of shit. Do that.
Yeah.
Sunglasses inside.
Yeah.
Try it. I think that'd work perfect with Titus.
Oh, yeah.
And that'd be good.
Yeah.
Just try something with
I know.
Him, man. Because he didn't have a match last night. Or did he?
No.
No, he did not. I'm correct. All right. Then we had Hardy Boys interview. How much do you love Matt Hardy slipping in the broken stuff?
A little bit here and there. I think Meltzer said somewhere that WWE is negotiating with TNA.
Are you serious? They're using their money? Wow. Holy shit. That's fantastic.
So we might see some Broken Universe stuff
Ooh.
In the WWE.
Yeah, no, because the thing that I saw on Twitter from him was the WWE, they are interested in it. They typically don't like using another company's gimmick, but
yeah.
they are interested, which is surprising to me because I just figured they'd say, hey, you know what? We have the Hardy Boys. People are going to like them regardless, and I'm not sure how much more money they think they'd be able to make. I don't even know. I mean, I don't know shit about their business.
Yeah.
But just as a fan, you know, if you look at it, if you step away from how much I love the Broken Universe stuff, if you step away from that, you got to ask yourself, well, would it be worth it for them financially to put money into fighting this thing? You know what I mean?
I know.
Are they going to get that much of a return?
But at a certain point, you got to, you know, the nostalgia factor wears off.
Yeah, I know.
You got to give them something real to do.
You would think. They just can't be Dudley Boys 2.0. You don't want to do that. There's a lot more to be had there.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's really cool.
I know, but it's interesting to hear, because there was this interview with the Hardy Boys. And it's interesting to hear Matt Hardy be Matt Hardy.
Yeah, I know.
Every once in a while, he'll throw it. Wonderful!
And he smiles the entire time. Like, he does just enough. It's very interesting that he does that. And then, of course, he goes on Twitter, and he's in broken character there, and he says, there's conflict within my vessel.
Yes.
That's good.
I know.
So he's playing it the way he should play it. It's kind of interesting that it's playing out this way.
Yeah.
Cesaro and Sheamus walk in during the middle of the interview because it was set up Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro. Cesaro says accurately, this is a dream match right here.
It totally was.
It was a really good match.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So anyways, but then, you know, Sheamus is saying, you know, this is great, but without the use of ladders, we might get those red belts back.
Yes.
And Matt Hardy says, I don't know, I forget what he says.
He says something along the lines of like, you know, let's keep, you know, the trash talk, mm-hmm. you know, to a minimum. Mm-hmm. Let's go out and enjoy the match, the dream match that we're about to see.
There are some cute pictures on the Twitter where Matt Hardy was playing tug-of-war with his belt between him and I think it was Carl Anderson's kid. It was very cute. I love that kind of stuff. See, you know what? That kind of stuff is very endearing. We don't need to know that Carl Anderson is a mean person to enjoy his work as a heel.
Yes.
We can see a cute picture of Matt Hardy, you know, and Carl Anderson's kid playing tug-of-war over a tag team belt. I think that's very appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, oh, this is a decent match.
Yeah,
this is actually
a
really cool match. Man, I freaking love Alexa Bliss, man. She's my new number one.
So we saw Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax versus Mickey James. Winner of this match would be the new number one contender for Bayley's Raw Women's title.
And I like how they book Nia Jax here. She's just the monster that everybody's kind of trying to take down, but she is kind of one step ahead of everybody.
Yes.
She's like stacking up bodies, dispatching of bodies, using bodies against bodies.
Yeah.
It was cool. And then
that spot where she picked up Sasha for the Samoa drop and then used Sasha to hit Mickey James off the top rope was great.
It was cool. So anyway, she ends up getting rid of pretty much everybody except for Sasha Banks. She brings her up for her Samoan drop and
hits it.
She hits it, and then Alexa Bliss, who earlier on was about to do some like missile drop kick or some sort of a top rope move, opts out of it once Nia Jax turns to her, and she's kind of too late for the surprise attack. So she buys her time down to the bottom, you know, outside the ring. Nia Jax hits her move. Alexa Bliss comes in, does a basement drop kick on Nia Jax, who sort of rolls, you know, who's affected by it.
Yeah.
She picks up the pin. Alexa Bliss picks up the pin on Sasha Banks, new number one contender.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
They're doing a really good job of making Nia dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And every match she's in, you know, they establish her as the most dominant force in the women's division.
Yeah.
But she somehow never wins, but never makes her look weak.
People have to be clever to beat her. They have to, like, use her own, like,
well, it's pretty
whatever.
Much they have to all band together.
Yeah,
essentially.
Exactly. Let's see here. Then we had... it's a Big Show interview. That was cool. What did he say in this one? He said, I've been doing this for like 30 years and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, he was just more or less saying, you know, Braun wanted competition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well.
Here's some competition.
That's
after that, we had Curt Hawkins do a promo.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what he said. Finn came out, beat him about a minute and a half.
He said last week... Who killed him? Last week the Big Show killed him. He says, and look, tonight he's in the main event.
Oh, yeah.
So you step in the ring with me and you'll...
It was Curt Hawkins Superstar or something?
Something like that. Superstar Academy or
that
something like
right.
that.
Yeah.
So anyways, Finn Balor comes out. Surprise, surprise, he got cleared to fight. Wasn't much of a fight because Chad Hawkins literally...
Got no offense in.
And Finn Balor, he's such a stud, though, man. They do that thing where, like, during his entrance where he, like, looks at the camera. Oh, he's such a stud. He's got, like, movie star looks, man. He's great.
Yeah, he is.
Anyways, he won with the coup de grace. And I love this. Like, I always, you know that he gets air on the coup de grace. But they did like a slow motion replay of like just how hot, man, that dude gets so much air.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, I still hate the move.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
It looks like he's going to shatter his ankles.
I know.
Like, that just, it's just more illustrated when it shows that slow mo replay of him so high up in the air. And I know. It's like, oh, God.
And the timing has to be perfect for his landing so he can land simultaneously on his feet while also approaching landing on his bottom.
Yeah.
So he doesn't hurt himself or his opponent.
Yeah, it's all bad. I like that one thing he did. What was it called? It was like the Brainbuster?
Oh, yeah.
It was the 19 something or another.
Yeah.
I think it was like a significant year in Irish history.
Yeah, it was. I forgot what they called it.
Yeah, me too. Let's see here.
After this, there was a...
Oh, it was great.
Chris Jericho interview. It was great.
Going back to the well on the Tom Phillips is... What's his name?
Mike
Rowe?
Yeah.
Is it Mike Rowe?
Yeah, I think it is.
Or Mike Rowe, the Dirty Jobs guy.
It's Mike something.
I think it's Mike Rowe.
That sounds right.
Could be wrong. Anyways.
He called him Mike Tom.
That's right. That's good. Anyways, like halfway during the interview, the Drifter walks in the background, drifting on his playing right his guitar.
He's about to put Mike Tom on the list.
That's right, for not having the correct name.
And then Jericho adjusts course and says, you know what happens when you walk through my promo?
Yeah. Drifter gets put on the list.
The Drifter is now on the list. So they're going to have, when Jericho comes back, getting a feud with the Drifter and to the Drifter?
Drifter's only going to drift, man. You know, inadvertently what they're doing, they're hyping up his actual first match so hardcore just by doing this.
I know.
It's
going to disappoint is what you're saying.
He's not a bad wrestler.
No, he's not a bad wrestler, no.
I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with him.
I know.
I feel like this is going to be like a live-action version of the Emelina promos.
Oh, that he's going to drift and drift and drift and drift.
And they have no idea what they're going to do with him. But something's going to happen here.
Yes.
Somebody's going to do like an open challenge, and it's going to be the Drifter, and people are going to pop so hard.
I know.
They are building him into the Raw's biggest babyface.
I know.
It's great.
Next, we had this Bray Wyatt promo.
You know, you need an ass whooping. No, I don't.
I don't think I do.
I don't think I do. Oh, he says it so sheepishly. I'm sorry. And then we had, what was it? Wyatt's
something
sermon? I think it was a sermon
to the Viper.
To the Viper. Like his love poem to the dear Randy, you are my everything, man.
I can't wait for this feud to be over.
You burned down my house and you burned down my heart. I love you, man. Give my title back, Randy.
Yeah, pretty much.
And give my soul back.
I can't wait for this feud to be over.
I want to kiss you. And rub your buns when you're in the shower, like JBL did to Edge. Oh, God, I can't wait for this shit. It's just WWE formality coming to San Jose. It's terrible, man. There's no reason for this to House of Horrors, and it's all super edited and shit. It's a waste of my time.
Why don't they just have this match on an episode of SmackDown?
I know. Hey, man, get out your projection screen.
And then we could have... a Bray thin feud start at Payback.
I know.
Could start already.
Exactly. Oh, man.
I don't get it. I guess they want to have a world title match at Payback.
Yeah, I understand. You're not going to get that shit with the Universal title.
No. So that I understand. Hopefully they've actually decided what the House of Horrors match is going
to
be.
Like, here's the thing, dude. I'm all on board with Brock having the Universal title to an extent.
Yeah.
But it works better when you have like actual stuff going on the show that the Universal title needs to be on.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, Randy, like, I don't care about the world title on SmackDown because we got that great U.S. belt that all the great players are going after.
I know, and there's not a similarly exciting program for the Intercontinental title on Raw. If there were, it wouldn't be such a huge issue.
Right, exactly.
But no one really wants to see Dean Miz again.
No, they
don't. Not this soon.
Oh, man. All right, let's see here. Then we had this awkward backstage segment with Alicia Fox, Dana Brooke, and Emma. And Emma was talking shit about Dana Brooke to Alicia Fox in front of her, saying that she was clowning her because of the exploding box thing. Better left just not talked about. I don't really care about that shit. Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro. Hell of a match right
It was. Let me ask you something. You know, okay. WWE has this new sponsor, this allergy medication, whose mascot is an owl. Oh,
fuck that owl. Yeah.
Do you think it's coincidental at all that it was during this match that the sponsorship showed up?
No, man. Somebody was clowning, dude. Somebody was clowning. This is if WWE is trying to negotiate this shit, why are they doing this? Like, hey, we're going to rub it in. By the way, Team Borash won. So Josh Matthews isn't going to be the announcer on TNA anymore. So maybe that's behind. Maybe I'll start watching now.
Now that storyline's concluded?
Yeah, I was waiting that out.
All right.
We've had a couple people, what I feel like when they type in the comments or on Twitter, they seem very serious, very straight-faced when they're typing this. I don't get why you guys don't cover TNA. Why don't we cover TNA, Larson?
Well, there's only so many hours in a day.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
First of all,
I'm telling you this, dude.
There's talent in TNA and
bro.
Impact I like.
Yeah, I know.
But for some reason, Impact have never booked their show in a manner which made me care about their product a whole lot.
There is a part of me that really wants to cover TNA simply to get... You're so much fun when you're talking shit.
Oh,
not
okay.
Even when you're mad. Like when you say, sometimes I feel like Silas Young forgets how to wrestle... I think about that for days. Like that's in my head and it makes me laugh consistently for days. And you don't do it a lot. I feel like TNA would be just a pile of money for you to dive into of just trash booking because it's so bad. Like it's so hapless.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's a good word for
who
it.
Who spells Albert? That's exactly the word for it. Alberto El Patron. How do you get Alberto de Patron from that? Like, really, I'm as gringo as they get, man. I'm like, you know, my mom is from South America, but I don't speak the language. But even I know that there's a massive difference. He's your new main guy.
I know.
And you get his name wrong on your Titantron. What is that? Terrible.
Yeah.
But that, I think it'd be so much fun.
Yeah, it could be.
Because I think there's a good wrestling on there, too.
Yeah. Jeff Hardy picks up the win with a twist of fate followed by a swanton bomb.
Yeah.
Good match. Fun match.
Let me ask you this. How is it that Jeff Hardy doesn't age? Isn't that weird? Dude looks literally the exact same as he did.
He doesn't look literally. He's a tad bit thicker through the midsection.
Just a little bit.
A little bit. And you can tell he's older in the face.
You think so? Yeah. I don't know, man.
He's aged a little bit. I mean,
not as much as Matt already has. Matt's aged a bit.
I noticed Matt's, he looks older just in the way he moves. He just seems a little stiffer. He always moved like he was a little stiff, especially like in the hips.
When he runs, it's silly.
Yeah.
He looks like a Benny Hill skit when he runs. Like you want Yakety Sax to be playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like when I look at Jeff, I'm like, man.
In the ring, he still moves pretty much just as well as he ever did.
It's pretty
crazy. Yeah.
It was kind of the same thing with RVD. Mm-hmm. I feel like he didn't really age a whole lot, especially in the ring.
Yeah.
Like that dude bounce and bounce and bounce. Let's see here. Then we had... Oh, I did not see this.
Oh, really? It was pretty funny. So,
was it? Shit.
Slater and Rhino. Rhino's eating a plate of crackers with some... what's it called? The
Easy cheese.
Easy cheese.
Yeah.
And Slater's dropping a promo about how he's on Raw. He mentioned his above-ground pool.
Oh, that's good.
And then Braun comes down the hallway and screams and scares him.
Mm-hmm.
And Rhino throws his plate of crackers all over the place.
That's pretty funny.
It was pretty funny. It's good to see them get some TV time.
Yeah, I know, man.
Involve them jobbing.
I know.
So, for our main event, we had Will! The Big Show against Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
A rematch of a bout that happened, I don't know, a month or two ago.
Yeah.
Another pretty fun match. It seems like the Big Show really goes out of his way to make Braun look really good.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. You can
really
tell.
Really goes out of his way.
Well, you heard about him getting pissed off at Mania, right? Because he felt like the moment between him and Braun Strowman was not extended enough, and he got mad at everybody except for Braun.
Yeah.
Because they all dumped him out right at like
quick. Didn't heighten the drama at all.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's cool. No, I like it, man.
And they were teasing a superplex off the top rope from that exact corner. I think they teased it at least twice.
They did, yeah. It was good.
Both competitors got off their finishers.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of kickouts.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then it finished with Braun superplexing Big Show off the top rope and breaking the ring.
And did you see that ref, John
yeah.
Cone, fly?
Yeah,
oh, my God, he flew. It was hilarious.
Yeah,
I was actually freaked the hell out.
Because it looked like what happened.
Because he kind of disappears, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Did he get trapped into the ring or something like that?
Yeah, ooh.
What happened, I was kind of paying attention, and maybe it was just timing or something, but when the ring broke, it looked like he was right close to the ropes.
He was bracing himself on the ropes?
Yeah, and the ropes fell.
Before, I think he realized that was
going to
happen.
And then he fell over, yeah. But he fell, far enough out that he wasn't going to get trapped under the ring. But I can see why that would be a concern when you watch it live.
Yeah, because you don't get that, like, when you watch it live or, like, when they replayed it, they didn't get the angle on the ref that, like, showed his head safely not being crushed.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, it was kind of...
But I did like how they replayed it from various angles.
Oh, yeah, it was good.
Arena.
But I looked at the crowd, like, on that side, on the hard cam side, I guess it would be.
And they didn't react as if...
They didn't react as if they just saw somebody die, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought, look, I mean, we've seen the ring collapse before. I think it was Big Show Mark Henry.
Yeah. And I think it was he did it once with Brock too, right?
I want to say Brock did it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this was, but this is the thing. It's like, you can consider it as kind of a tradition, you know, he's the next monster big man and that's good.
Yes.
It's good. Let's answer some questions.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to answer some questions.
Adam Mayhem.
Let's open a package first.
Oh, go grab one then.
Okay.
Yeah, where can they send this stuff?
I don't have the P.O. Box memorized. Only you do.
Really?
Yeah.
P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California.
Be careful about addresses.
95662. This one here is from Victor Holland.
Oh, okay. This one is from LTOCA.
LT Style Electric Glide. Let's see here. He says, warning. Uh-oh, that's not good. Warnings aren't good. If you are reading this as part of a video or podcast, please read the greeting, then skip ahead to the second sentence of paragraph 2. This is like a choose-your-own-adventure from Vic Holland. Greetings, Steven Larson. Then skip ahead to the second sentence of paragraph 2. You go ahead and do yours first.
Okay.
Oh,
wow. These are awesome. Have some pins. Oh, look at that.
Oh, nice. Ooh.
Dear Steven Larson, we wanted to send you guys some of our newest pins. It's WrestleMania weekend. We have no idea on who won, writing this the day before WrestleMania, but we're pretty stoked. We also want to mention that we're fans of your podcast, particularly Count Out, and we always smash that motherfucking like button.
Nice.
We hope you guys enjoyed WrestleMania weekend. We'll hopefully see you guys at the New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 special in Long Beach. You will. Enjoy the pins. Keep up the great work, and we'll keep watching. Best from Don and Ed. At LTOCA. Thank you so much. These are awesome. We have Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm. This is part... Vic is sending this. There's really nothing to read here. Vic is sending us something for his school project. Some questions that he wants us to answer.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we can do that for Vic Holland.
Yeah.
So.
It's a CM Punk one.
Ooh, I like that. Look in my eyes.
The Shield.
This is a Sami Zayn one.
Yeah, these are cool. No. Thank you so much. These are awesome.
That's really cool. You can have the Shield and Sami Zayn. I'll take Finn Balor and CM Punk. Is that fair?
That's fine.
Because you're not a huge Finn Balor fan. You like Finn.
I like him,
yeah,
but I'm not a huge.
Who's a bigger CM Punk fan?
Probably you.
Probably. I have Cult of Personality as my ringtone
still.
You do.
You have bought CM Punk shirts. I have not.
I have bought some CM Punk shirts. He had some good-looking shirts, too.
Is
it weird that he still puts stuff up on Pro Wrestling Tees?
No.
No? Making that money still?
Yeah.
Off of pro wrestling? Which he doesn't do anymore?
So?
Yeah. Got to make that change any way you can, right?
Exactly. Adam Mayhem. This is a weird question because of social media and how kayfabe doesn't exist anymore. Do you guys feel that you are not as engaged in the stories being told in the ring? For example, how Alexa Bliss was scared of Nia Jax, but on her Instagram, I guess her and Nia...
Mm-hmm.
Our best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Or Charlotte with Becky Lynch. What do you guys think? I have no problem separating the performance in the ring from whatever they may post on social media. It doesn't lose any of the effect in my eyes.
I think my only thing is I don't really have a frame of reference for how it used to be. I don't know if, like, if we were watching WCCW in 1980 or whatever, 1981, and we thought that shit was real.
If we would see Michael Hayes and the Von Erichs hanging out in a bar.
Yeah, I know. I like if we were watching this and we thought it was real, would we be? We don't have an answer because we're not there doing this.
Yes.
I still really enjoy the product. This doesn't bug me all that much. What I thought I had one caveat, didn't I? Like, we had this discussion kind of before. Oh, yeah, that was kind of my thing. What was my stance on that?
I think it was...
If somebody gets injured kayfabe, like somebody blows out a knee, but it's all storyline. Shinsuke with his knee story, with a storyline knee injury, and then I see him going for a jog the next day. I think I said I might have a little problem with that.
How do you feel about Roman Reigns last week getting decimated by Braun Strowman and then performing at house shows against Braun Strowman?
Because that's all
within the same universe.
I am honestly torn on it because on one hand, people paid for a ticket.
Yes.
And if they advertise Roman Reigns, I understand card is subject to change. But if it's subject to change based on keeping a guy out because of a storyline injury, then no, I'm not into it. Because there was no match. He just attacked Braun.
Oh, okay.
Like, while Braun, I think, was in another match or something like that.
Gotcha.
So in that case, I'm like, yeah, I kind of get it. Like, you know, because of social media, we see Roman Reigns coming back at house shows, but then he didn't show up on Raw. To me, it's kind of the same thing as seeing Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax hanging out because it's like, well, people paid for a ticket. This is entertainment. You know, you have to go all in on it, kind of. In my opinion.
You know? I mean, you can appreciate the performance that's on TV or in the ring mm-hmm. when you're there live and just appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
That's his own little self-contained world.
Yeah.
And then whatever happens to social media is...
But on the other hand, like, there is... And this is... I totally get why it doesn't bug you because, you, like I just said, you kind of... If you buy into the kayfabe and you buy into them as just performers and that's okay for you, that's great. The injury thing... I don't know. There's something inherent about it that I'm just like, yeah, I'm not bugged by it.
See, the example you gave doesn't bother me because I'm able to make that separation. I'm more bothered by the Roman Reigns thing because it's all in that same world.
Mm, yeah.
If he can't show up on Raw, then he shouldn't be showing up on house shows, in theory.
Yeah,
I understand
yeah.
there's a business aspect yeah. of it. People bought tickets to see him. He was advertised for the show.
Yeah.
It would suck to be in a position where you bought a ticket to see somebody and then have him not show up just to perpetuate a storyline on TV.
Yeah.
But
that being said, it would be fantastic. I mean, my thing is this. Because we've known it's since the WWE since like 94 has publicly acknowledged that this is predetermined stuff.
Yes.
Like there's no way around thinking that it's real. Or there's no way around knowing that it's fake.
Yeah.
I have no idea what it would be like to think that it's real, but I think it'd be kind of cool if we thought it was real.
It'd be a different experience.
Yeah, it'd be a different experience. It'd be kind of neat. I mean, I guess it'd be no different than watching like MMA. You know what I mean? But then it's like, how would you think that some of this stuff is real? Like you watch some of them old Hoss fights. I can think that it's
real.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. You watched the last Battle of Atlanta. It's just clumsy and
real.
Brutal and bloody.
Yeah.
I can understand when people think the fighting was real. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Good question, though, Adam.
That is a good question.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, Triple H finds it funny. So if Wyatt wins the WWE title, not going to happen, and goes to Raw, he keeps the title. So SmackDown brings back the World Heavyweight title. Oh, they bring back the big gold belt, I guess. The Universal belt then becomes a cross-brand thing.
I've been saying that for a long time.
But
One belt that crosses brands.
But then do you think, I guess the question here is, do you think that the... Each brand would have that. Wouldn't that just relegate? Would the Universal title then be there? It would just be the Universal title, Intercontinental, and U.S. title. There would be no world titles.
No, I think that's what.
That's what he's suggesting. In your mind, what do you think?
No, there would
that?
Be world titles.
There'd be world titles, but there'd still be the Ultimate H belt.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Each brand would have their own world title, and then you know the cross brand title, best wrestler in the entire promotion.
It's a lot of titles, though.
I understand.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wrestlers.
Yeah.
I mean, look, right now, there's no top
we say,
belt.
Yeah, hold on a second. We say there's a lot of wrestlers, but Raw really feels depleted.
At the top of the card, especially. It's more so the top of the card they feel depleted.
Yeah.
But I think part of that too, if they had a world title on the show, you know, week in, week out,
mm-hmm.
there is a lot more stories you could utilize.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine, say, you know, we have Seth versus Samoa Joe. We understand why they're fighting. Imagine if they were fighting for the world title as well.
Yeah.
Add a whole extra dimension to their feud.
No, I know. You're right. Let's see here. King of Hostile, Joshua the Dynamic Knight Martinez. So, sad to hear that Dash Wilder got hurt. Yeah. I think we did mention it briefly, but he got a busted jaw. He's going to be out till like July.
Yeah.
Do you think this will be a blessing in disguise for the club? New top heels. It kind of feels like that would make sense.
Yeah, they'll step plug up them and fill that void left by the revival.
Oh, here we go. That's a good one. Jack John Jose. Braun has been on fire lately, and it seems like creative is giving him a new strength test every week. What are some inhuman strength tests that you want to see happen live in the future? So he tipped over an ambulance. They did the Big Show ring collapse thing.
Yeah.
Which is more just a test of your mass, I think.
Yeah, and how power.
Much mass and velocity.
Yes.
Yeah, you have.
What other test of strength?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know exactly how they would work into a storyline, but like if he pulled an airplane, they do that during strongman competitions.
How about this? Well, I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's good.
How about this?
Yeah.
How about this? You know, there's the production trucks they have.
Okay.
He has to pull a production truck from one show to the next.
Oh, I like that. From one show to the next?
Yeah,
that's a long way.
I know. That's a show of strength.
That's a massive. How about this?
Or at least
though?
Across the parking lot.
They say, okay, Braun Strowman, you can have more competition. And we've given you up to like five men before.
You're talking about an animal?
No, but that's a good one. Like, he has to go in the water and fight a shark? That'd be cool.
We've seen that. Brock Lesnar did that already. He F5'd the shark.
You're right about that. So no, then he gets a Jaguar.
Okay.
Okay. But the Jaguar is wily, smart. And so it goes under the ring, and the show of strength isn't fighting the Jaguar, it's lifting the ring.
He picks up the whole ring.
And he says, "Get out here. Come here." And then he gets a little kitty cat treat and goes, "Come here. Good kitty cat." And gets a headlock. What's the bronze finish?
The running power slam.
Oh yeah, power slams.
The Jaguar?
The Jaguar.
Okay. WWE ring structural engineer Andrew Briggs. Tonight, Miz proved once again why he is the best heel in the game right now, taking an old feud with Dean Ambrose and making it fresh by injecting some truth.
Fresh fish.
What are some other faces you would like to see get a reality check?
Oh, this is your reality check.
From Miz.
Oh, that's a good question, actually. That's a really good question.
How about, see, if you have Miz Finn, Miz can just give him shit about the whole demon thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would be good.
That would be really good. And then, like, he does, like, a Finn expose where it shows him, like, it shows people, like, putting the body paint on. Like, exposed.
Yeah.
Like, you're not really a demon. You're just a guy who has, like, body paint people.
You have to sit in a chair for 8 hours.
Exactly. And then Miz, like, puts on the body paint himself 1 week. Oh, that's a good one. I really like that.
That'd be good.
That's really good. He's gonna puke, says, with Alexa Bliss winning, do you see her winning the title at Payback? I don't think so.
No.
However, it's not gonna... I don't think it's gonna be clean. I would think there's going to be some interference there. They really seem to like Alexa Bliss these days.
I know. Do you think Sasha will get involved?
Maybe.
Could be.
Thinking more Nia, though, because she literally robbed her. Like, she executed her finisher. She didn't do. Hit the finish while you hit the circle.
Yeah.
Because then you automatically go into
automatically
a pin.
Automatically pin, yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here.
James Rodriguez, which woman do you think has a better chance becoming the first woman to have won both Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships, Alexa or Charlotte? Probably Charlotte.
Boy, oh boy. You think they're going to give that belt to Charlotte like right away?
Not right away, no.
I'll say it's kind of a toss-up. But Charlotte seems to make more sense. You really want your foundation to establish that strength. So, yeah, I could see that.
Jefferson. How do you see...
Oh. What? Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was looking for this question. I'm sorry. I was looking for this question on Twitter.
How do you see WWE booking Matt Hardy into being broken again? The latest rumors say they can use it. Will they have Jeff versus Matt to cause it, or will he just start doing it soon, or how could you book his new break? Well, on Twitter, he's been kind of going back and forth between being broken and saying mm-hmm. there's conflict within his vessel.
I would think that they would... They would probably, okay, I'll say this. I'll throw this out there. After they're done with the Cesaro Sheamus thing, let's say they enter in something with the club. And maybe the club crosses a line that causes an incident.
Yeah. And, which, go ahead.
And all the lights go out and they do that whole, and then he's like in full garb.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Willow, what's his name? What's his name?
Itchweed.
Itchweed comes out. That'd be great. I like this question here. Jacob Barnes hit me up on the Twitter, said, what made you guys pick the name Going in Raw for your podcast? Did you guys have any other prospective names? Dan chose it.
Yep.
I think during our very, very first conversation. So it goes back to when we were on 10 for the Win. We were tasked with doing some collaborations.
Yes.
With other YouTubers, part of the Machinima Network. And Dan was a name that was thrown to us. And like immediately we hit it off.
Yeah.
And like within the first like 10 minutes of us talking about how we're going to approach like the episode that we're going to do.
We just started talking about wrestling.
And
we probably talked for about an hour.
I believe it was me that said, this sounds like a wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Yes.
And then he said, I believe he just piped up and said, we should call it Going in Raw.
Yes, I remember it happening.
Yeah. So no, there were actually no other name. I think there might have been like somebody might have said, what should we call it? But it sounds like a Dan thing to just sort of pipe up and say, we should call it this.
Yeah.
So no, there were no other names ever on the docket.
No. Above titles, Alex C. If you could have two people other than Finn and AJ join up with Anderson and Gallows, who would it be? Baron Corbin.
He's a lone wolf. No, I like Baron. They do too much. They bury the club too much. They do too much bad things to the club. I want Baron strong. Apollo Crews.
Cassius Ohno.
Oh no. Well. Apollo Crews. But I want him to put on some of like the makeup like Tama Tonga did, you know, it was like with the cool like war paint stuff. That he'd look cool. Apollo Crews look. I just want him as a heel, either arrogant, rich heel or club heel. Either one works. Could you imagine him working heel? What he can do in the ring?
I know it could be good.
And he just doesn't talk. That'd be cool.
Magnum TA champion Nathan Ragland. How far do you think WWE is willing to push Braun? They've made him amazing these past few weeks, but after Roman, how far would the WWE go to make him a constant dominant force? Yeah, my worry is they're building him up just for to make Reigns and later on Lesnar look really good.
I think I know. Well, this is what I was going to ask you about is how can they accomplish their goal of feeding him to Lesnar, feeding him to Reigns, while still making Braun potentially...
Here's how they can do it.
A major big man in the future.
Look at how they've been booking Nia Jax.
Mm-hmm. The only way
anybody can beat her is, you know, to team up against her, essentially. Yeah. So say it is Braun.
Lesnar at SummerSlam. How do they get Lesnar over?
Make it a triple threat match.
With who?
Anybody.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe, God, they're not going to put it off that long. Man, if they did this Braun destroys Roman thing... Before, right, like a couple weeks before SummerSlam, he can have made his return at that match and screwed over Braun.
Mm-hmm. Or that,
Lesnar, yeah.
Yeah.
So they can do stuff like that.
Yeah, there's ways.
Yeah.
I just worry, especially based on how they had Reigns go over Braun clean earlier.
Yeah, I know.
That it's going to be a replay of that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, my thing is this. There's still time. They've done such a good job of bringing him back from that. That, like, I think it's clean slate now.
Yeah.
Braun is strong monster man.
Yes.
And, like, look, we know Lesnar's part-time. We know Reigns gets booed out of the building. And I know he is merch sells and everything. But it's like you kind of need a strong Braun. You got to keep that in your pocket.
I know.
You know? But
I know.
On the other hand, when Lesnar came back from the UFC, he jobbed the Triple H and John Cena.
I know.
So you can do that and then still recover. I mean, yeah. All it takes is, you know, one time beating the Undertaker streak.
Yeah. Or suplexing John Cena 16 times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it just takes a couple things like that.
Exactly.
Drew Rinaldo. So the ref from the show Braun match was definitely killed during the ring implosion spot, right?
Oh, big time. R.I.P.
Anyway, that was perhaps the third or fourth time I can remember seeing that spot happen and always makes me mark out just a little bit. What are some spots that have been used and reused that always make you mark out? I know there's something, but I can't think of it.
Spots that they reuse that we still mark out
mm-hmm.
over? That's the question?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, man. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Yeah, me too.
I hate when that happens.
Me too. I know there's something. Because I think I've talked about it before.
Sometimes I feel like if you and I are a tag team, like if one of us is doing bad, we tag the other one in, the other one would just start doing bad too. Like we're not a great tag team.
No.
Like I always go back to Charlotte, how we were both useless in asking her questions.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, I'm tagging you in. He said, I got nothing.
I
like,
know.
Who else? Am
I no, I had something. I just couldn't articulate it. And then just came out. I was like, I can't do this.
I can't do this. You should have just
That's not what I
away.
Said. I was like, yeah. I got nothing.
Oh, God, that's funny. Let's see here. My goodness, that's a long question.
How about this? Okay. Gustavo Yang.
Okay.
Hey, friendos, which tag team guys would you want to compete in singles matches while still part of being a team? For example, Carl Anderson still being in the club but going after an Intercontinental title or something.
They used to do that back in the day, kind of. Like, I feel like Billy Gunn went after the Intercontinental title while still part of the... But I don't think that's true. I think I just feel that way because they were together and apart and together apart so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it would have to be... Kind of, like, there's so many wrestlers that have to be a really compelling thing to do that. You know?
I know.
It'd
I
have
know,
to
I
be
know.
Like... Somebody would have to be, it'd be one of those situations where somebody's oddly getting over so big, so unexpectedly, that they just had to do that.
Yeah.
Like if Xavier Woods was just somehow getting over huge outside, or Kofi, for I'm not sorry, Big E, because Big E is, you know, he's so cartoonishly humorous that people just love him. Him going after a singles prize, especially after the New Day have done so much. I could see something like that happening.
Yeah.
Like the New Day sticking together, even though one of them's going after singles gold.
Yeah. Do you have a question over there?
Yeah, here we go. Poly Dangerously guy, Tom Robeson. First time patron, long time listener. Thank you. I know you guys love a good hoss. In honor of last night's main event, if you were going to build the ultimate hoss, not Ultimo hoss,
yes,
but
the ultimate
hoss
ultimate
from
hoss.
The ground up, what would be the ingredient? Look, personality, moveset. Whose body? Whose body
is like
is prime hoss body? I feel like Big Damo is like ultimate hoss body. I'll be honest with you, I think Big Damo is kind of ultimate hoss. Look at him, man. Like that is like ultimate hosses can't be polished. Not really.
No.
You know?
I feel like he is a bit. He's really polished for a hoss, though.
You think Damo is polished? He's so, like, pale and doughy.
No, I mean,
so much hair.
I mean, in terms of wrestling skill.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about wrestling skill.
Oh, you mean in terms of...
God, that's a good point, though. I'll say this, then. The look of Damo, the awkward wrestling skill of who?
I feel like you need the moveset of Vader.
Really?
Not that
Vader
he...
does not all the fly, the high-flying shit?
I know, but he's stiff. Shit.
Oh, that's okay. The stiffness of Vader.
Okay, stiffness of Vader.
The body of Damo.
Yeah. But the actual wrestling ability
of
Dan Spivey. Dan Spivey wasn't really a Haas.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, like he would powerbomb people, but sometimes feel like he would hardly get them up.
There you go. Oh, how about the high flying moves of Silas Young? Those are definitely Haas-ish in how poorly they're executed. There you go. And then the mic skills of Sid.
Yeah. Yeah.
With all his gaffes. All right, one more question, then we're gonna get to Kayfabe Corner.
Yeah.
So many questions here, like 150 questions. Well, here, this is an aside here. The uninvited ghost, who we didn't invite to ask this question, he says, I'm kind of sad that if you don't post your question in the first 5 minutes or so, you might as well not bother. It's actually not true. I'm like deep into the thread right now.
Yeah, we scroll through and try to find stuff that A, we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
B, would be interesting to talk about. And C has a lot of likes.
We need like a producer to get together like good questions for us.
I know.
Let's see here. Oh, here we go. This is all RKO out of somewhere. It says, first time patron from Melbourne, Australia.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you believe that Apollo Crews should join the Titus brand rather than start a program where he feuds with him. Yes. Yes.
Well, he should start a program or join a team with Titus to eventually feud with him.
Yeah. But I want to see like years of a successful, like I want Titus brand to show how successful he can execute a Titus brand promotion.
I agree.
That's what, and I think Apollo Crews is perfect for that.
Yes.
All right.
All right. What time is it, Steve?
Time for Kayfabe Corner, the ultimate. The ultimate. I got to use my phone. Wrestling challenge.
What did you get last week? 9?
Yeah, I did really good last week.
So I think you're up 2. You're up 2. If my math is correct.
So 12 names.
Some real, some not real.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. Okay. So this week at the $10 Patreon mark, you can vote every week on the Kayfabe Corner theme.
Yes.
We give you 2 names. You choose one. This week, I offered up Big Show and Braun Strowman, and in the first couple minutes, it was very Braun heavy. By the time I finished the list, it was very Big Show heavy on the tail end. So Braun won. I didn't wait that long. So Braun Strowman is our subject. It's very difficult, by the way, because he had 0.
Yeah.
He had nothing really. He was locked away in the performance center for like a year and a half, honing his skill. Then he like had like a dark match on Main Event. He had like 1 match on NXT, I think, and he was like in 1 Rosebud segment,
mm-hmm.
and then he was in the Wyatts.
Yeah,
very quick.
Yeah.
Anyways, here we go. Number 1.
1.
Dick Rick.
Fake.
Real. Number 2. King Yu.
Can you spell that, please?
Y-U.
Fake.
Very good. Rick Byrne.
Fake.
Real. The Masked Wisconsin.
Fake.
Real.
Really?
Yeah, there's also The Masked Chicago.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not doing very well.
Ace Rotunda.
Fake.
Very good. Snakebite.
Real.
Fake. Big Bill Young.
Fake.
Real. It's Big Cass.
Oh, okay.
Big
man, Bill I'm not Young. Doing well. How many was that? 6? 7? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There's 5 left.
All right, so it was 7.
Run the table, man. Run the table.
I know, I need to.
Levi Wyatt.
Fake.
Real.
Really?
That was a Bray Wyatt name.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Max Lutz.
Fake.
Very good. Chad Collier.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Real.
Very good. Z-Type.
Fake.
Very good. Sir Broderick Cruz.
Fake.
Very good. Okay, time for bonus questions.
Not a good round.
No. What was Braun Strowman's first ring name?
It wasn't Levi Wyatt.
No, it was not.
Wow. I'll just say it was Braun.
No, it was Braun Strowman.
Really?
How stupid is that? Finally, question number two.
Two.
What does Steve have in common with Braun Strowman?
You share the same birthday?
Very good. Very good. Not the year, but the day.
Yeah.
Very
seven.
Good.
Yeah. I have seven. So you I said seven. You were,
it's not terrible. You're up five.
Up five.
So I got to bring it next week.
Yeah, I didn't do very well.
If I get another nine next week, boy, I'll be at four up on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Good stuff. Anyways, stay tuned, you patrons, for bonus episode.
Yes.
And until next time, what are we going to do in the bonus episode today? Top 10 other names for Braun Strowman.
Okay.
All right. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.